Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to the Thursday edition of the Steve Jones Show. Kevin Herr with Bob Buhner today. Bob, Steve will be joining us, by the way, later. So
yes, he will. Well, I think he's still doing cleaning up Christmas dinner and doing dishes.
Either that or wrapping paper, one of the two.
Yeah, he's apparently Steve didn't get the memo that today is actually the day after Christmas. He's still working away on his Christmas list. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's an easy week as far as, you know, Penn State sports, because there's not a whole lot going on until New Year's Eve's
right.
Big Ten game against Michigan State, which, by the way, we still have an opportunity for you to grab a pair of tickets to see that. Just visit us on Facebook, Steve Jones Show on Facebook. Look for the image, share the image, like us on Facebook, and you'll be in the drawing to win that, and we'll give it away on Tuesday about maybe we should do that probably on Monday. You'd have a chance to get to the game.
Exactly.
Time, yeah. We'll do that on Monday at 3:20.
And apparently, according to some obscure rule, you and I are not eligible to win these things.
We are not eligible to win. I have no idea how that happened, how were you not eligible to win it. I don't know. I have to look in. There's got to be. It must be in the fine print. Come on, Bob. This is what you do, is read the fine print.
I look for
Help
loopholes.
Help me out here, man.
We look for loopholes. And we'll be working on those. But if we can't find any, that means people who listen to the show are actually going to be eligible to win this.
That's very true. That's very true. So, again, go visit us on Facebook, Steve Jones Show on Facebook. You'll have an opportunity to share the image, like the show, and then you'll be instantly qualified to win. A very entertaining day on the Steve Jones Show today.
Sure. One absolutely. No. You know, in fact, we're all expense paid trips to the Olympics. We're giving those away
great.
Today.
Again.
That would be fabulous, all right? I mean, we got 20 of them.
Hey.
And see, I just thought it was Frank Liquiate on the show from Bloomsburg University. I thought that was the big deal.
Hey, Kevin.
No, it's the all-expense-paid trips to Sochi. We're giving them away.
Wow.
You had to register at all sorts of great places. We'll be just drawing entries. First, here's our first winner, Bob Buhner.
Oh, man.
You know, I've always wanted to go to the Winter Games for the curling competition. A dream fulfilled.
Sean Carey. Drew Kelly, Ellie Stevens, and let's see.
Not Mark Lawrence. He cannot win.
No,
he
Lawrence can't win. And Cody J. That's it. Those are our five winners.
Excellent.
What do you know?
Hey, Kevin, I have to tell you, I had a thing that happened last night involving Steve Jones.
Okay.
On the Big Ten Network, they were replaying the Penn State Michigan 4 overtime victory.
Right, okay. Yeah.
And
I skimmed through and saw that.
It's about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and I'm dozing off, trying to stay awake to watch the final, just hoping that the outcome didn't change. And all of a sudden I'm having a conversation with Steve Jones. I didn't realize it, but there was a promo that Steve had actually done for a charity that played during the game.
Uplifting
and I was
athletes.
Awoken by this voice, and I started to talk to him.
It's a nightmare. That's not a scary nightmare.
It's the one for the uplifting athletes, I think, weightlifting.
Yeah.
And you did a beautiful narrative of supporting rare diseases and all this.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm about 90% asleep, and I hear your voice, and I started talking to you.
I usually hear that, too, but it's usually in the middle of the night. I wake up in a cold sweat. It's just bad.
Well, you're about to hear it again, courtesy of Learfield Sports.
REW Financial believes in the value of total commitment. We are a working family who strives to prove strength of character by staying independent and core focused. REW has a commitment to the community and the financial needs of our clients. Let us design your portfolio or retirement strategy. REW Financial Lewisburg, the power of freedom. Securities and advisory services offered through United Planners Financial Services. Member FINRA, SIPC. REW Financial is a DBA of REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC, and neither are affiliated with United Planners Financial Services.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout.
Like a 2011 Hyundai Sonata Limited, inspected and with a clean Carfax, just $19,378. 2011 Kia Sorento LX, $17,523. 2006 Mercury Grand Marquis, LS Premium, sure to sell fast at $9,495. 2011 Subaru Legacy Limited with power moonroof, $19,780. 2010 Ford F-150 XLT, a real workhorse with new tires, lowest price promise, $26,897. Call 570-286-7746.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout.
See the full inventory and schedule a test drive and see what your trade is worth, too, at sunburymotors.com.
At the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Franklin Quiete, the Harlan Hill Award winner, will be joining us at 3:35 today. We'll talk with him about his great career and the Heisman of Division II. And Bob Buhner's on hand. He won one of five trips to Sochi. And, geez, Kev, I feel awfully bad. I mean, you put in 5,000 entries and five people who put in one entry each won.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that my entries did not make the finals.
There were some technical difficulties with the information, and we had to throw them all out, apparently.
I think I need to file a grievance. I'm not sure with whom.
Sure. No, I mean, go ahead, file a grievance. There's a lot of paperwork. Yeah. Don't forget to do it in triplicate, and also don't forget there's an appeal process. You'll be fine.
Yeah. By the time the summer games start, I'll have won my pass to the winter game.
Good news! In July 2014, Kevin finds out, you know what? You were right about that. You should have gone.
Yeah, he should have gone.
Hey, somebody that found out some good news today, not me, but Aaron Rodgers looks like he's going to get the start against the Braves. My question to you guys is
the Bears.
The Bears.
The
yeah. Wow. I'm already scheduled for tomorrow.
Yeah.
He will start against the Bears. But my question is this a good idea?
If he's medically cleared, it is a good idea. You have to remember that the medical staff has complete control over this situation, not the coaching staff. If the medical staff says he's cleared, then he's fine to play.
Yeah, but I'm not talking from a medical standpoint. I'm just talking from fact that he hasn't played in shorter forever.
Who's... Kevin, have you watched them?
Yeah, no, not last week anyway.
Kevin. They need him to play.
Yeah.
Are you saying that Aaron Rodgers that has been watching for a month and a half to 2 months is better than what they have out in the field right now?
Well, but it's not like he hasn't practiced. He has practiced the last 3 weeks. He just has not been medically cleared to play. The big difference. I mean, he physically is able to throw the ball. He is physically able to run the offense. But the reason he wasn't cleared to play is that they felt if he took the same kind of hit, He was going to do more damage.
See, I don't believe in that though. If you're not physically cleared to play, you shouldn't be able. You shouldn't practice either.
Hello.
What's wrong with that?
Are you kidding me?
I mean, I know in high school, if you're not cleared to play, you can't practice. Is it different in college?
Well, these are professionals.
I understand that. I grasp that.
He's able to practice, okay, but he's not able to play because they're concerned that he's not ready to take a hit that could possibly re-injure and cause more damage. You're not getting hit in practice. Hey, they do not. I mean, this is what we try to point out to everybody over and over and over. How much hitting do you think they do in an NFL practice in December?
I wouldn't think they do much at all.
Zip. No, it would be none.
Nada. Okay? So he's running plays. He's throwing the ball. He's running more plays. He's throwing the ball. But the doctors would not clear him to play because they thought if he took a hit of any kind, he could jar it and re-injure it. Right? And, you know, I mean, now it would take the same kind of hit probably to re-injure it. Okay? The same kind where he got, you know, he got turfed on that play. I mean, that's why you're able to practice and not play. I mean, they practice him all week in case he can play, and then they go through and they do the MRI and they and so forth, and they determine, okay, now he's not quite ready yet. It's not like he had an arm injury or something like that where, right. You know, see, my elbow is sore. No. I mean, he can run, he can jump, he can throw, he can do all sorts of stuff, but he still has that collarbone issue.
Now
he's cleared to play, right? Now Tony Romo.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Now let's move south. Is this actually just the Cowboys trying to throw everybody off, including the Eagles? And is this a big ruse, or is it legitimate that Tony Romo somehow may be able to play this weekend?
I know he's not practicing. I know that. He hasn't practiced yet. So...
To me, this just sounds like a big smokescreen.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, whether it's a big smokescreen or not, what happens is the Cowboys' offense actually lessens because of Kyle Orton playing, because he doesn't have the mobility Tony Romo does. I mean, so they run the same routes, same patterns, things like that, but his ability to move in the pocket is still something that will be taken away from Dallas. So, you know, they can have all the little clever ruses they want along the way, but there's a reason why Kyle Orton is the backup and Tony Romo's the starter, and one of them is his mobility.
Doesn't Orton get Social Security? I mean,
I think so. No, well, Kitna does.
Yeah, Kitna.
Kitna, the backup, does.
They just signed. He was teaching high school or something.
Really?
Yes. He went from the classroom right to practice the other day.
Well, he knows the system, though. That's
he was on the bench there for a while.
Yeah, so he's played, and he's actually physically played in games for the Cowboys when Romo was hurt. So he actually knows the system. That's not a big deal at all.
But don't you think the timing of pass patterns from a Romo to an Orton is all discombobulated?
Well, sure it is, except Orton's taking all the reps this week. I mean,
yeah.
people forget that he is actually the guy practicing this week.
Yeah.
I mean, well, so that's not an issue.
Isn't it amazing? Two huge games, Bears, Packers, which is a traditional one, and then an old rivalry that goes way, Eagles and Cowboys.
That's because the NFL changed the schedule 3 years ago, and it was a brilliant move by the NFL where they sat there and said, okay, nothing but division games to close out the season. That's why Baltimore's playing Cincinnati. That's why the Steelers are playing Cleveland.
Yep.
That's why Kansas City's playing San Diego. I mean, when you look at the scenario that is now set up in the NFL with the Steelers, for example, well, the Steelers beating the Browns, you feel pretty confident about that.
Yep.
Hey, is it plausible that the Ravens lose at Cincinnati? Yes, Cincinnati hasn't lost at home this year, so that's plausible. San Diego, Kansas City. Is it plausible San Diego loses to Kansas City?
Yeah,
because
sure.
Kansas City's had a great year.
This is the one that I have trouble with, though.
Is it plausible that the Dolphins lose to the Jets?
I have to root for Rex Ryan? I mean, really? Do you know how painful this is?
I think the key to this whole weekend, Kevin, is please do not watch the Steelers.
I don't intend on it.
Good.
I don't intend on it.
The jinx will continue.
Well, it's okay, TK. You'll be fine. I'm sure that, that's our new nickname for you, TK.
Do you know, once upon a time, the Jets...
You know what TK stands for?
I don't know, but I can't wait to hear it.
Ted Kaczynski.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Well, listen, getting back to the Romo thing, if you're the Eagles, I don't care, but you can smokescreen all you want. It doesn't really matter. It's not like you have to prepare differently if Orton is the quarterback. They're doing you.
That's right.
It's actually a bonus if Orton is the quarterback. I think they're putting up the smokescreen for the Cowboys fans so they don't get depressed.
I think he's going to start.
Romo. Ooh.
Yes.
You've heard it here first.
So in other words, they're going to shoot him up with all sorts of cortisone.
Sure, why not?
Yeah.
All right, it's not my body. Today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484. You can go online to REWfinancial.com. Here from the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummelsworth, Franklin Quiete next. Harlan Hill Award winner from Bloomsburg. Right after the news, bottom of the hour on WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. Today's show being brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484. Or you can go online to REWfinancial.com. Great to have you with us. Roll through this afternoon together. Day after Christmas, Buhner literally got everything he asked for, plus two. Amazing. And then Kevin got everything he asked for and still complained. I mean, I don't know. I get confused. And, of course, we are at the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Bob?
I'm here. I'm just looking at Kevin.
Because he's confused.
He is.
No, I was just getting Franklin squared away on the phone line here.
Well, good. Franklin, all squared away. Great to have you with us.
I'm ready to go.
Okay. First of all, when you won the award, you really took time right away to talk about your academic advisor. Talk about why you wanted to make sure everyone knew that first thing before you talked about any other topic.
The reason why I wanted to let everyone know is because, you know, obviously being a student athlete, you have to maintain a certain GPA in order for you to stay on the field. And I want everybody to understand that academics is huge. And I didn't really start off as strong as everyone else. I didn't really have the GPA that you needed to be able to play. And she was the one that really believed in me and took a chance on me. And she really just helped me out as far as my studies went and picking the right classes. And I pretty much owe most of it, if not all, to her for allowing me to stay on the field and, you know, able to maintain the success I was able to maintain on the field. So I owe it all to her.
In the end, Franklin, what did you decide to major in and why did you pick that major?
I decided to major in communications. We felt that it best suited my needs and highlighted my strengths. And obviously, I like talking to a lot of people, and I'm good at holding conversations with people. So I thought that was a great field to go into.
Yeah, outstanding. And you can tell by the way you carry yourself. You had a change in coaches, even though it was somebody that was on the staff. You played for a legendary coach, and then this year for, quote, an interim coach. What was that transition like for you? Was there any real discernible difference? Because on the outside looking in, it didn't seem like there was.
No, not really. You know, obviously the offensive group, such as like McBride, Leidick, and Stephen Adams, they stayed intact. You know, the only thing that was really different is the fact that Coach Hale he would be around the offense a lot more because obviously he's a nuts and bolts offensive guy. But his presence was obviously felt. You know, him being gone, we obviously knew there was a loss. But you know, at the end of the day, we made that adjustment in the spring, and Coach Dale is a more than capable coach. And Coach Hale wouldn't leave if he didn't think the program was in more than capable hands with Coach Dale. So, I mean, we just, you know, made that necessary adjustment, and Coach Dale did a great job. He didn't try to overstep his boundaries. He let the coaches coach, and we were able to have the success we had this year and win the conference championship. So it wasn't that much of a difference. We just carried on with our business.
Your offensive line, what can you say about them?
I can't say enough about them. I mean, those guys are a friend. They're pretty much the reason why I won the Harlan Hill Trophy this year. Those guys, they are very selfless guys. Matt Filer, Brian Clark, Chris Deck. It goes on and on. These guys have been class, high character guys. And I mean, they've blocked unselfishly the entire season. And all they want to do is see the running back succeed. And, you know, watching me run and scoring touchdowns, they said they're huge, biggest gratification. So, I mean, these guys are great guys. I'm going to have the luxury of playing the same All-Star game with Brian Clark, so I can't wait to do that. And, you know, I'm just glad to have them on my team.
The system. Every system is always important. What is it about this system that allowed you to really excel?
Well, the thing about this system is obviously the running back gets the ball a lot, you know. He gets the ball, you guarantee at least 25 to 30 carries a game, which is great. But, you know, the one thing about this system that really helped me flourish was the fact that there's a lot of schemes that go into one scheme. There's a man blocking scheme, there's a zone scheme, and it's all about what the running back sees. And if you study film and really understand what the defense is trying to do to you and trying to counter, you can have a lot of success. And Coach McBride does a great job teaching the scheme to his players, really getting them to understand what the scheme is about, what their goals are, and stuff like that. So, I mean, the offensive line executes the scheme great, and all you have to do is have a running back with vision. And I've been gifted with God's gifted ability to be able to have vision, plan, cut the field, and make plays. So, I mean, it just all came together at the end, and I was able to, you know, have a great career.
When did the game start to slow down for you? When did you get that sense where all of a sudden the chess pieces were moving in a different speed because you were so comfortable? You know, freshman year, sophomore year, junior, when did that light go on?
Well, the light really started to flicker on and off when after the first game of my freshman year. Like, you know, obviously the first game, everything's going like 1,000 miles an hour. You really don't know what to expect. Everyone's moving fast. Everyone knows where they're going. Everyone's good. So, I mean, I just really took that game as a tune-up game. And 35 carries, I was able to, even though we lost the game, we came out of that game knowing that I was going to be okay going for the, you know, for the latter part of the season. After that game, you know, I started to really get more comfortable with the scheme. I started to really study film the way I was supposed to. Coaches started to really believe in me a lot more, and started to really teach me more about the system and stuff like that. So I started to get more comfortable in the second or third game of the season in my freshman year because I started to understand the speed of the game. I started to understand the offense better, and I started to become more confident in my abilities, that confident I can play at this level. So the game started to slow down at that point.
What's fun about the game to you?
It's hard to pinpoint one thing. The one thing I really think I find very fun is to, like, not just scoring the touchdowns, but whoever scores the touchdown, just to see my players, you know, erupt, to seeing how excited they are, because it shows that, you know, it's a team game, and it's just great to see them excited, just as excited as I am when we score or whatever happens. A big play happens, they're excited about it, or we score a touchdown, we're all excited about it. So it's glad. I like to see the smiles, and I like to see my teammates really happy to be there as much as I am.
Success breeds success. What has it been like playing Bloomsburg football with the success you've had?
It's been great. You know, just being part of this tradition, if I could pick it again 4 years, if I could pick it again today, I'd do it again, because being a part of this BU tradition, being able to wear the maroon and gold every Saturday is just a privilege. And like I said, I'm honored to be within this program. I'm honored to say I've been coached by Coach Hale, been coached by Coach McBride, been coached by, you know, Stephen Adams. I've been honored to do that. So, I mean, just to be able to play in a program that wins as much as they do and to have the expectations, they know what they're doing, they know the direction they're taking this program, it's just great. And like I said, this is the one-of-a-kind program, something that I'm going to hold close, near and dear to my heart, Husky Pride.
Now that you've had a chance to live it, go through it, and it's been a little bit of time since you received it, what does winning the Harlan Hill Award mean to you?
Oh, man. It means a lot. Two things have eluded me my entire career, and that was a conference championship and this Harlan Hill trophy. And to be able to get both of them in the same year, in my senior year at that, it just caps off what people have been saying as a remarkable career. And, I mean, like I said, it's just being, you know, told you're the top Division II player in the nation of 2013, it's just an amazing feat. And to have that trophy, every morning I look at that trophy in my house and I just can't believe it actually happened. It's still a dream. But, you know, it's just a testament to my offensive line, testament to the offensive scheme, testament to the coaching, and, of course, my hard work. All that culminated into this trophy. And, like I said, I've been surrounded by great talent, you know, with the offensive line. Obviously, you've seen Chris Steck, Brian Clark, Matt Filer, all those guys who could potentially go pro. So, I mean, I didn't do this alone, and it's just, like I said, all of us, we work together, and I'm just reaping all the benefits. So to have a Hall of Fame trophy, it just speaks volumes about my team and about the BU program in general.
Now for you, you want to get yourself ready for the combine. What are some specific things that you feel you need to work on to get yourself ready? Because they will find talent anywhere.
Right.
So what do you feel you need to do?
Oh, well, I just – in part, I think I just need to be myself, But at the same time, obviously, there's some things I need to work on. It's like people, the biggest question mark about me is the speed thing, the 40 yard. And that's the one thing I'm going to really place some emphasis on when I train. We're going to work on the 40, work on the starts, work on every piece of it. That way I can be prepped and ready to run my 40 and impress all these scouts. Another thing is just, you know, another thing I have to work on, and I'm going to be able to get the opportunity to do that, is to show that I can compete with those guys at the Division I level. And I'll be able to do that at the NFLPA game that I'm playing in. So I'll be able to compete with those guys, be able to, you know, show that I belong up there, show that just because I play at Division II level doesn't mean I can't compete with guys up top. So, I mean, I'm just going to go out there and just play my heart out and hopefully get some good looks from scouts and GMs and hopefully get some good feedback.
You'll also get an opportunity in a game like that to compete against all different levels.
Yeah.
You go in. Do you go in with the mindset of chip on shoulder, Division II guy, I'm going to prove myself, or is there a different mindset you need to approach this with?
Well, I'm going to go in there, obviously, with the chip on my shoulder. You know, I'm a Division II guy. People are, once you have the Division II tag labeled on you, people automatically, you know, second guess your talents. I'm going to go in there, you know, as a Division II guy, chipping my shoulder, showing them that I belong in that game. That's first and foremost. And secondly is I'm just going to go out there and enjoy the experience, you know, just have a great time being around those guys and just take it all in, because very rarely do you get a chance to go out into the big city of Los Angeles and just, you know, hang out with all these different players and have a great bowl game and get the experience like that. So I'm going to go out there and just have a great time, but at the same time, when it comes down to business, I'm going to play my game and, you know, try to shine.
And that's the next part, the business part of it. You've gone through this experience at Bloomsburg, the business end of it. You're going to get on there. This is a business trip for you. So how do you need to mentally approach this whole thing?
I'm going to approach it, you know, the same way I usually approach every other game, and that's I got to get the job done. I got to do whatever it takes to, you know, be successful and, you know, develop all facets of my game, such as blocking, catching the football, and running it, obviously. So I'm going to go in there and try to do the best that I can and leave it all out there on the field. That way, when scouts see that, when they see that tape, they're like, all right, hey, he belongs here. He can play the game of football. And, you know, I'm just going to leave there, hopefully with some good feedback, like I said earlier. You know, hopefully these scouts realize that, hey, you know, just because you come from Division II doesn't mean you can't play this game. And, like I said, I'm going to leave it all out there on the field, do whatever it takes to win, and just have a good time while I'm doing it. Have fun while I'm doing it. And hopefully scouts can see that and really pick me up.
You're a very special player. The other part you're going to excel at will be the interview part. When they sit down and talk with you, they're going to be really impressed, and I'm sure you'll impress them down there. On behalf of everyone here, congratulations on a very special award. Congratulations on letting everybody know right away how important academics happen to be, and I have a feeling that we'll be hearing a lot more from you down the road.
Thank you very much. I really do appreciate you having me.
Frank Laquiette, the Harlan Hill Award winner from Bloomsburg, the nation's best in Division II. The Division II Heisman belongs to him. We'll come back with more. Today's show brought to you by our good friend Rick Weibel, REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484 or go online to rewfinancial.com here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. Great to have you with us. You missed a really, really, Bob, you missed a really insulting Kevin moment.
Oh, did I? No.
I didn't think.
Oh, it was unbelievable. He just ripped us to shreds, you and me.
Oh, no.
Must have been listening to a different conversation.
Excuse me, I said. Sometimes with our cell phones, I mean, it's almost like Bob and I are in Europe, and he says, "I wish you were."
Oh,
what kind? I mean,
well, says the man that doesn't want to send me to Sochi for even any reason.
Oh no, I'd like to send you there.
Yeah. It's not
it's
with
only
a return
one
ticket.
Way though. Yeah, I was going to say it's only one way.
Hey Steve, that was
it's all we can afford.
Yep. That was a great interview with Franklin. What an incredibly grounded kid he is.
Very. And you know what? I think when you have humble roots and you play in Division II, and it's a humbling situation because you have a few thousand in the seats and not 90,000. You don't have message boards talking and touting you the entire time and so forth. And you find out what your true values happen to be. And you know what? I better be good in the classroom. I better get my degree. I better make sure I've got my back, because I know going through this process, as talented as I might be, it's still an uphill climb compared to, say, pick a guy in college who'd be like a Carlos Hyde of Ohio State.
Sure.
Carlos Hyde's avenue to the NFL because he plays for Ohio State, so exposed, lots of tape, quality opponents and so forth. He's going to get that longer look and a lot, you know, and so forth compared to a guy like this. He knows it, but he's a very talented guy. And look, when you look at the Danny Woodheads of the world, okay, what can Danny Woodhead do? Catch the ball and be elusive in space.
Yeah.
Have a real feel for the game. If Franklin Kouyaté can catch the ball, be elusive in space, and make plays like that, he is going to be a guy that's going to be very valuable, because we know he can run, but it's that part there. In the pass-happy NFL, you can do that. You can find yourself a spot.
And Franklin is... It was not used as much as a pass catcher for the Huskies because he was so talented running the ball. But he can catch the ball. I've seen him do it many times, maybe once a game or two, but he is an elusive threat after catching a pass. And he's also, as you could tell from the interview, just a determined fellow.
And you know, one of the things that really impressed me, Bob, especially in that interview, was how he handles himself in an interview. And when Steve asked him the question about a chip on his shoulder going into a bowl game, and you know, as a Division II player, you know, I liked his answer. I mean, he was honest about it, yet, but not to the point where there was an arrogance about him, that I have to prove this to everybody else. It was, I want to play the best I can play, and when I get there, get the job done. And get to work. And you know, here's a guy that's come out of Pocono Mountain West, not necessarily a media mecca, and Bloomsburg University, although the success there, you know, there's not a ton of media attention there that you would have at some other schools. So I think he handles himself very well, and I think that will say, as Steve said, and you mentioned this in the interview, he'll do really well in the interview room.
Yeah, he will.
Yeah.
And you know, the other thing that you can't measure is a person's heart and determination. I watched him in the Westchester Bloomsburg game, and as Franklin said, Steve, in the interview, the one thing that eluded him, and not many things did, but the one thing was a conference championship. And against Westchester, it was on the line, and he took some really jaw-shattering punches in the body that would fell a mere mortal. And there's no less than three times when he hobbled off the field, and you thought, oh, my goodness, this is it. He'll never make it back in. Not only did he go back in, but he scored the winning touchdown with like 20 seconds to go on a spectacular run that you would have thought it was the first play of the game and he was fresh. That's the level of determination he has. And when asked about it, he just looked at the interviewer when said, you know, how could you do this? He said, because that's what the game demands of me. And that's what my teammates expect of me. And, you know, it was just a stunning response, but that was Franklin Kouyaté.
You know what, here's the other part that I find very impressive. And this is from a football point of view. Everybody knows he's going to be getting the football. Everybody knows. The other 10 guys on offense know. The 11 guys on defense know. The opposing coaches know, the coordinators know, everybody knows he's getting the football, okay? And so all eyes are on him, and he just gets yard after yard after yard after yard. No deception.
No.
You know Franklin Kouyaté is getting the ball, and he still gains yardage. That tells you a lot about him.
Steve, the bus driver on the visiting team knows he's getting the ball at least 25 times.
And he's not even watching the game.
Yeah, and, you know, he, in his career, I mean, the numbers are staggering. He's the first player, I think, in Division II history. Three consecutive 2,000-yard seasons.
Yeah.
7,500 career yards. And had Bloomsburg been in the playoffs two more games, Danny Woodhead of Chadron State, Nebraska, and now San Diego would be number two, and Franklin would be number one. just the number of he holds every record in the piece sack that's worth holding, like career touchdowns, rushings, etc., etc. And we all know what's going into it. And Bloomsburg does not they disguise the plays, but they don't disguise that Franklin's in the backfield. So,
right.
Wow, what a player.
And it's our pleasure to have him on the show. And if you missed it, you can check out the podcast. And
yeah, we'll just have to follow where he goes from today forward.
We'll keep in touch with him.
Plenty of opportunities.
We'll keep in touch with him. TK says he has his email and his cell number. So
here's the bowl update. Steve is 4-2 so far in the bowls. I'm 2-4.
Ooh.
But we'll pick the next two games. Actually, we'll probably have to pick the next two games here in the next hour. That's Bowling Green Pittsburgh in the Little Caesars Bowl and the Northern Illinois Utah State matchup tonight in the Poinsettia Bowl.
Boy, those are spellbinding games.
I'll tell you right now, Northern Illinois, Jordan Lynch. Mm-hmm. I've watched Jordan Lynch play three times on TV. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He was in the top six for the Heisman Trophy. I don't get it.
I agree with you. That last game he played really was
not well done. I've seen him three times, Bob. He played that way all three times.
Yeah.